Today is our finale of our series called Added. Added is really a series on the church, and because this is the final series, final episode, it's kind of like end game coming up in a few weeks, but this is the end game today. And this series is really to add others and how we have walked through the verses in Acts chapter 2. This is the key passage, but I'm just going to read the one in bold, verse 47. The people, they were praising God and they were enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. You know, at the end of the day, it is the Lord that adds. It is not the pastor that adds. It is not the music. It is not the food. It is the Lord that adds. Okay, so, and we talk about how in every nation, how one get added through serving, through belonging life group, through giving, through discipling, and today, we want to talk about the last one about growing. Say the word grow. Okay, what does it mean to grow? Grow is really a natural part of life, isn't that true? Some of you, maybe you have a pet or you plant certain plants in your balcony. You plant certain fruits in your garden and it's a joy seeing it grow and you expect them to grow. And in the same way, when God builds his church, it is natural and we expect things to grow in the kingdom of God. Now, Acts chapter 2 to 5, I'm just going to quickly summarize what happened. Okay, so recap, the church is growing, the Holy Spirit came upon them, 3,000 people got saved, and at that time, the obvious leaders that emerged was Peter and John. Okay, so they were the default leaders, whether they want to or not, the new Christian movement look up to these two people. And Peter and John, if you recall, they healed the lame person by the temple. This lame person was lame since birth. So it was a big, big commotion. The whole city, the whole town knew of this miracle because everybody knows that, oh, that's the lame guy by the temple and today he is healed. So everybody rushed there to want to see what happened. And Peter and John, they were preaching the good news. They were preaching the name of Jesus. They were preaching that this miracle came from God. And obviously, with more crowds, there were people that didn't like it. The religious people didn't like it. The Romans government didn't like it because it was a threat to their movement. It was a threat to their status quo. So what did they do? They arrested Peter and John. They threatened them. They say, please do not speak of this faith again. Please do not speak of this J word, this Jesus word. Again, they threatened them. They were wanting to persecute them. And I guess none of us here, sitting here, potentially go through that kind of persecution. After their arrest, after they released them, Peter and John, they continue preaching the word of God. Okay, they continue preaching the word of God. And Acts chapter 5, they got arrested again and they were put in jail. But this time, at midnight, an angel of the Lord, the Bible says, an angel of the Lord opened the door for them. And they escaped. And the angel of the Lord told them, go into hiding. No, of course not. The angel of the Lord told them, continue to preach the word of God. In fact, preach in the temple courts tomorrow. And that is what they did. Okay. And the religious people, the authority, they were very angry. They were very upset. They went to the prison. The next day, they were gone. And they heard that, hey, the guy that you arrested, they are continuing to preach in the temple courts. There is no stopping them. So they were very angry. They went there. The crowd was there. And they wanted to arrest them again, but they didn't dare to do that by force because there was a lot of people. So they were very polite. They said, could you come this way, please, John? Mr. Peter, could you come this way, please? So they brought them to this place where they decided what to do with them. And they were angry. They told him, we told you, we specifically tell you not to preach the word of God. And yet you blatantly disobeyed and you put us in such shame. And you know what Peter and John told them? He says, we must obey God rather than men. Oh, that's it, okay? That's it, okay? The Bible says they were ready to kill him. They were ready to kill them. They were ready to stone him. But there was this religious people who everybody respected, a teacher by the name of Gamaliel. He says, leave this guy alone. They leave these guys alone. If these guys or what they are speaking about is of human origin, it will die by itself. It's just a fad. It will die by itself. But if it's of God's origin, you will find yourself fighting against God and you will never win. Okay, so they release him And Peter and John continue to speak. And day by day, the Bible says, they were proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. And this is where we want to pick up. Are you guys with me? Okay, so there is a growth. And this is what happens when we grow. And I want to talk about what happens and the journey of growth. Verse chapter 6. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in numbers, a complaint by a Hellenist. Now a Hellenist is a Jewish person that grew up in a Greek culture. Are you guys with me? It's just like when you grow up in different nation, you grow up in different, you have potentially, you know, Malaysian Chinese, a very different culture, very different language from, say, a mainland Chinese or from an American-born Chinese. Are you guys with me? Very different language, culture, mindset, very different. So there were complaints that arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in daily distribution. Basically, their needs were not met. Verse 2. And the 12 disciples summoned the full number of disciples. Maybe the group is like this. And they said, it is not right for us that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out among you, okay, choose among you 7 men of good reputation, full of spirit and wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. So what happened here? As the church grew, there was an opportunity, there was more need, and they needed people to step up. Are you guys with me? They needed people to step up to do certain function within the context of that church. Verse 4, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and ministry of the word. Verse 5, what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and Holy Spirit. And he named the 7 people, Stephen, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, okay, the guy who, in Lion King, Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. So these 7 people were named, verse 6, and there they sat before the apostle, they prayed for them, and they lay hands on them. And this is what happened when people grow, when people step out. Verse 7, and the word of God continued to increase, and the numbers of disciples multiplied greatly, and great many of priests became obedient to their faith. I want to talk a little bit about journey of growth. All of us here, besides our waistline, of course, okay, we like to see things grow. But there are things that happen when there is a growth. The first one is there will always be pains to growth. There will always be challenges to growth. We hear of this term they call growing pains. Some of you guys heard of this term, growing pains, whereby supposedly as the children grow up when they're still young, when their limbs are growing, sometimes they feel pain, especially in their joint. Sometimes before they sleep, they'll complain about, you know, joint pains, and that's growing pains because they are growing on the inside. But similarly, we use this term growing pains to talk about growing pains as your business grow. Previously, you are just 5-man business, and now suddenly you're managing 50 people. How many guys know that there is growing pains? Your company grows, your team grows, a church grows, there is pain to growth. Verse 1, it says that there was a complaint. Okay, not just a complaint, but potentially there were communication gaps, potentially there were expectation gaps, potentially there were personality clashes. Potentially, they were having different ways of doing things. And I thought you were supposed to wash feet first and go in. No, you're supposed to wear your shoe in. And there's so many things, so many differences. Language gap, economic gap. Sometimes when we work in a team, whether it's in church or outside, there is so many differences, right? So many conflicts. And that is exactly what happens when the church started to grow. The truth is, with more growth comes more challenges. With more growth comes more needs. With more growth comes more problems. With more growth comes more pain. And that's just reality. And we should expect that. Okay, we should expect that. You know, we moved to this place about a year and 4 or 5 months ago. And within a year, God has almost doubled our kids. When we moved here, we have maybe about 25 kids. Okay, and now today, within a year, it's almost 40. And a kid's teacher were complaining to me, that, Pastor, we have no space. Pastor, we need more volunteer. There's more needs. There is no space. And the kids' age group are getting bigger. And we need this and we need that. How many guys know that that is the pain of growth? But it's a good thing, right? It's a good problem. It's a good problem. And we moved here, there is teens, and they meet outside, and the teens leader were telling me, Pastor, there's no space. We had to meet outside, and there's no space. We say, okay, just make do for a while. And we moved here, and we started to service. This morning, we had a great crowd. Today, you know, you are here again. Congratulations on making history for coming to Every Nation Church Damansara second service, okay? Our first week of two service. Suddenly, the music team has to double up. The kids teacher has to double up today. I'm so pumped up seeing volunteers that volunteer for the first time this week. Okay, I met, I think it was Cheryl outside volunteering for the first time. I saw Suki here volunteering for the first week. I know there are some kids teacher volunteering for the first week. You know what? I want to honor every single volunteer for stepping up. Would you honor them? Thank you so much. The good thing about this is that when God brings us through the pains of growth, God wants to bring about the growth in its people. Okay, when God brings growth, firstly, God wants to bring growth in us. The people of growth, verse 3 and verse 5, they chose the people, right? They chose people who are full of wisdom, full of Holy Spirit, full of faith, full of reputation. And sometimes when we are called to do something, by whether it's our life group leader or when I call you, do different things, maybe our first response is, yeah, but I don't know how to do it. I'm not experienced, I'm not eloquent, I'm not talented, I'm too young, I'm too old, I'm just too everything, okay? Because we all have our insecurities, not good enough, we all have that. But, you know, the greatest prophet in the Old Testament, Moses, he had the same challenges like us. When God called Moses to lead the whole nation out of Egypt, Moses said, who am I, Lord? Okay, you remember Moses' first 40 years of his life, he was a prince in a palace. He was a somebody. The next season of 40 years of his life, he was a nobody in the desert. And God called him through the burning bush experience. And God says, now you go. Lead the people. I've heard the people. I've heard the misery. I've heard the oppression. Now I'm sending you. Moses is like, me? God says, yes, you. Moses says, I can't speak. God says, I will give you the word. And Moses says, but what if my own people don't believe me? God says, tell them I am who is the one sending you. What if they don't trust me? I'll give you my rod and my staff. And finally, Moses says, can you just get somebody else? That's true. After 5 questions, and God gave him the answers, and finally Moses says, God, can you just send somebody else? Sometimes this is like us, right? God, can you just send somebody else? God says, no, you go, but I send your brother Aaron to go with you. You see, God doesn't call the qualified. God qualifies the call. See, when God called you to do something, whatever role, God will qualify you. God will equip you. God will bring about the different people that can guide you. We just have to say, yes, Lord, I am willing to step out. Last week, we had Pastor Ronell here sharing about mission. I think we have about 13 people that sign up to express interest to want to know more about mission and potentially go for a mission trip. When I look at the list, all of them are first time going for mission. I look at the list, some are new, but I'm just so excited because as they stepped up, guess what? God will qualify them. As I look at their list, and all of them maybe have different concerns and different barriers and challenges, but God will qualify them. If finance is a problem, as cheesy as it sounds, but if it's God's will, it's God's bill. Okay, I believe that if God has called you to do certain things, God will provide the resources for you to do what He wants you to do. But our response is, we need to respond in faith. Do we respond in fear? Or do we respond in faith? Okay, I pray that we as a church, we will respond in faith. You know, as we plan to start this second service, it was about a week ago, I find out that, it is the weekend of Qingming. Okay, Qingming is a big traditional Malaysian Chinese thing, and a lot of people will not be around. I says, I forgot. Okay, it clashes with the Qingming. I said, it's okay, let's just do by faith. And I texted Vin this morning, the worship team. I says, we don't know how many people will come for the first service. We don't know how many people will come for the second service. Maybe everyone will come for the second service and nobody will come for the first service. I texted him, but it's okay. God will be there. Right? Because the Bible says when two or three are gathered together, he will be there. And how do I know that God will be there? Because the worship team itself is already eight, okay? So even if there's nobody here, God will be here because there's eight of them here. Do you see it through eyes of faith or eyes of fear? I was telling someone outside that we are starting our second service. He said, wow, that's great. And then he paused and he says, wait, doesn't it mean that you have to spend additional 1.5 hours that you have to preach two times? I said, yeah. But I don't see it as spending additional 1.5 hours. I see it as right now we have the potential not just for 200 people on a Sunday, but we have the potential for 400 people on a Sunday. I see that potentially now we don't have just a potential for 50 kids on a Sunday, but now we have potential for 100 kids in a service. Amen. You see the chair that is empty next to you? It is not for you to put your bags. That empty chair next to you is for people who have yet to know God, who over the next 12 months that God will add to us as we grow and as we are faithful. Do you see with the eyes of natural eyes, or do you see with the eyes of supernatural eyes? Do you see what God sees, or do we see just based on what we see? You know, Jesus in the Bible is always amazed with great faith. If you want to amaze Jesus, great faith amazes Jesus. But at the same time, Jesus was amazed at lack of faith. Remember, he goes to his own hometown. The Bible says he couldn't perform any much miracles because there was lack of faith. And he was amazed. He was amazed at great faith. He was also amazed at lack of faith. Jesus commended great faith. He will always tell the great centurion, the woman with bleeding for 12 years, Jesus says, I like your faith. Your faith has healed you. Jesus commended great faith. At the same time, Jesus corrected lack of faith, right? Jesus always tell his disciples, oh, you, oh, little faith. So today, I want us as a church to notch up our faith, notch up our spirit as we worship, as we praise God here every Sunday. We believe that when people step in, they're going to experience the presence of God. Last week, I had a friend from Sabah who is visiting, and after the service, he texted me. He said, Pastor, I'm so glad that I came the church this Sunday. I was deciding, don't know where to go. I'm so glad I came last Sunday because I really felt the presence of God during worship, and it really bring about clarity to what am I going through. Wow, just the presence and the power of God. You know, next week we are starting a new series called Signs, okay, which is an Easter series. It's a great opportunity to bring a friend to discover about who this God is. It is an Easter series. It's a great opportunity to bring a friend who with young kids for our Easter party. There's going to be food. It's going to be fun. Besides the pain of growth, it's going to bring about the people of growth. I'm going to just quickly share a story. This is a story of Zikwan, one of our life group leaders. I think he was singing worship here. Last year, he had an opportunity, an open door, to speak in his old campus in Tar UC, which is in Setapak, half an hour away. He graduated there. He was a staff there. And he left many years ago, but he was invited back to do a camp. And after the camp, he said, Pastor, I have this contact to some of the students. What shall I do with it? I says, well, why don't you do something? Let's pray and see where God leads. And he says, okay, Pastor, I'm going to grow. But guess what? When he grows, there is challenges. He has to go every Monday night very far away. The jam, the rain, he has to spend time talking to all these students, but yet he obeyed, yet he grew, okay? He go through those challenges, and we had the opportunity over the last, I don't know, 2-3 months to talk to them about finances, about relationship, about purpose, about faith. And last Christmas, about 12 of them, all unchurched, came to our Christmas service. And this year, we're believing that, guess what? We're believing for breakthrough. We're believing for salvation in the students of the university in Ta UC in Setapa. Okay, so when you step up, guess what? God will bring about a breakthrough. The last thing about growth, not just the problem, a pain, not just the people, but there is that promise. Verse 7, the word of God continued to increase. The number of disciples multiplied, and a great many priests became obedient. You know, priests are, at that time, those who persecute the Christians. They are the ones that you think that will never come to know God. No hope. But yet, when we grow, God bring about that breakthrough. Matthew 16:18, Jesus says, I will build this church. You know, the pressure is not on us, that Jesus is building his church. Remember the story of Peter and John? They were arrested. And the teacher, Gamaliel, says that, you know what? Let them go. If it is of God's origin, it will continue and you will not be able to stop them. And today, 2,000 plus years later, the church of Jesus Christ all over the world is not just surviving, it is still thriving and it is still growing. Because God Himself is building His church. What if the seven people that in Acts chapter 6, Stephen and Timon and Nicholas, and what if all these people say, oh, not me. Not me. I'm not willing to step up. Then we would not have heard and read about them, right, today. But all of them say, yes, we will grow. Today I want to ask, what if every single one of us here we're standing here and say, yes, I will grow. What if every single one of you who stand up and say, yes, I will grow. Yes, it will bring about some sacrifices. There will be some challenges. There will be some inconvenience. There will be cost to me. There will be discomfort. But what if every one of us here say, yes, Pastor, I will grow. I will grow in my walk with Jesus. I will get serious with Jesus. Yes, I will grow, be more active in my life group. Yes, I will grow to lead a life group by end of the year. I will grow by serving this year. What if every single one of us who stand up say, yes, I will invite one friend this year to church. I will invite a friend to this Easter series. You know, guess what? You know the empty seats next to you? If every single one of us were just to invite one person this year, we would have been full already as well. We would have to start two more services or a different location. I don't know. Again, the pressure is not on us. We are just participating what God is building and God is advancing His kingdom for the last 2,000 years, and it will be continually advanced till the end.